January 2008. This was a day that wasn't that different than all the others, and yet it felt different. I'd been in a funk for more than a year and a half, been close to a total depression. Somewhere along life's journey, my vision for myself had faded until it was nearly non-existent. I was unrecognizable inside and out. My path was full of tangled roots and spider webs. The trail was totally blocked until I couldn't tell where I was going anymore, what life meant to me, what my end goal was. But that day, without much evidence to warrant the change, I'd felt an emotional tick upward, a shift that boded good things were ahead, the start of a new era, a positive one. Now, I knew that a healthy outside and a healthy inside were connected, so I wanted to do something that day to get going, to begin. That signified I was on my way. I decided to go for a walk. I set out for this vigorous walk up this steep hill. I was determined I was going to get physically healthy again. This was something I could do for myself that day on my own. I was going to do something, get going. I was going to do better.
Hi, folks, and
welcome to Every Day.
We have somebody joining us.
Hey, everybody.
It is none other than David Nair, the technical creative consultant and media contributor for the Tevolution. The Tevolution is the parent company behind Every Day. Welcome, David.
Hey, well, thanks for having me, Darwin. Pleasure to be here.
We're so happy you've taken the time to join us for our second episode.
I know, right? We never thought we'd get here.
I know, isn't it?
Right, it's a real milestone.
Okay, now we're going to be playing an episode called The Hill.
I've heard of The Hill. I'm looking forward to this.
Oh, good. But it could just as easily be titled, What Would You Do? And that's what we're going to...
Can you swear on this?
Can I swear on it?
Right.
I don't... Yeah. I guess so. Would I want to? Is there a need to?
Well, it might just happen naturally. That's why I'm asking. Continue.
So what we're going to do is play The Hill, and then David and I will comment on it. I hope this elicits discussion among people out there who are listening or who share this podcast with other people, because this is a thing that probably happens, something like it, every day somewhere in the world. It's called The Hill. Or, subtitle, What Would You Do? This is Darwin here. I thought I'd talk to you today about something that happened to me a little while ago, and we have those things that happen to us in life that we can't let go of. It can be a little thing that happens that for some people it means nothing. Other people, it might happen to them and they forget about it in a day. But this happened to me a few years ago, and I know that it meant something to my soul, to my heart, because I don't forget it. And because every once in a while, the memory of it will come up. I pass the street, the memory of it comes up. I talk about a certain person, the memory of it comes up. It happened to be New Year's Day. It was a time in my life, things hadn't been going well. I had been going through a transition. I wasn't on the street, I wasn't homeless, but I wasn't living in my own home. I was living with a friend. And she had offered me a room in her house while I worked myself through this transition. And although I loved my friend dearly, and I know my friend cared for me dearly, we hadn't really lived together as peacefully as I would have liked. So I had been going through some emotional times. I didn't know whether I should move. I didn't know what I should do. But it was the start of a new year. And I woke up New Year's Day and I looked out the window. It was in the Hollywood Hills. And it was a bright, crisp day. And I remember just breathing in that air. I could actually smell the ocean from the hills. I thought I could. I don't know. And I remember thinking, this is starting a new chapter. Things are going to work out okay from here on. I just know it. I could just feel it. And I got up that morning and I dressed and I decided to take a walk in the Hollywood Hills as a my form of exercise for the day and as a start to the beginning of a new year. So it was really early. I walked up this steep, steep hill, and it was this windy road. All the homes were really beautiful up in there, like huge homes, wonderful landscaping. And I had actually walked up this hill with my girlfriend like maybe a week or so prior to this day. We had taken a walk up there. She had lived in the hills for a long time, and she had told me that she remembered that area before all those houses had been built, when it was just nature. And they would walk up, and you would get to a certain point, and there would be this guard, like this guardrail, like they have in national parks when you have a rail and then there's this kind of barrier. But you can walk around, you could walk around the posts. The posts were in the ground, so you couldn't drive your car any further, but you could definitely walk around. And I remembered asking her, is this part of the Santa Monica Mountains? Is this part of the land once you get beyond the post? Does this belong to the city or the state? And she didn't know. She said, I don't know. I just know that we always walked up here. And I thought, okay, so we walked up there and everything was fine. On the way back down that day, we stopped and she wanted to look at all the landscaping because it was really beautiful, expertly done, you could tell, professionally done. And I felt uncomfortable. My friend is Asian and I'm African American. I didn't say anything to her because I knew she didn't feel uncomfortable. It probably never occurred to her to feel uncomfortable. I felt uncomfortable because what went through my head was, if somebody looks out their window, they're going to wonder what this black girl is doing looking at their lawn. But I thought, well, I'm okay because I'm with my friend and everyone knows her. She's very well known. So I thought, they know her, I'm fine. We went home that day. That was all there was to that. But this day, on New Year's Day, I was by myself. And here I am walking up the road, and I'm walking up the windy road. And as I round one of the bends, I see a young black man who is detailing one of the expensive cars that's in the driveway. And I see him, and as I walk by him, we nod at each other. I keep walking, and as I get a little further up, one of the last homes on the last side, the door opens, and a man steps out, and a Caucasian man. I can tell he's approaching me, and as I get closer to him, I smile, and I say, Happy New Year. I can tell I startled him. He didn't, for a minute, I almost thought he was going to turn around and walk back in, but he didn't, and then he said, oh, Happy New Year. Then he said, you know... And I said, yeah. And he said, you seem like a nice person. And I'm still approaching him. And as soon as he said, you seem like a nice person, of course I know. He's going to say something that's not pleasant. And when I got to him, I stopped. And he said, but you know, where do you live around here? And I said, well, yes, I do. I live in that big yellow house that's at the foot of the hill there. You know Lisa, right? Because everybody knew her. So I just assumed that he would. And everybody knew the big yellow house. You can't miss it to get up that road. He didn't acknowledge the yellow house or if he knew her. All he said was, well, you know, this is a private road. And I said, it's a private road. And he said, yes. And I said, but there's no gate. And he said, well, no. But it says private. I said, there's no sign. And he said, well, it's on the, you know, on the street sign. If you look on the street sign, it says private. And I said, well, my friend says she walks up here all the time. And it's okay. And he says, other people have tried to walk up here. We're just trying to be very, very careful about, you know, people who come up here. So, you know, you just can't come up. You can't walk up here. I went, okay. And I hadn't reached that gate yet, the one that I had always wondered about on the other side. I thought that might be private. But this part was just seemed like a regular road. What I did was I turned around. And this is what brings me actually a lot of shame, because to this day, I wish I had finished my walk. To this day, I wish I had said, F you to this guy, not literally, but figuratively, by finishing my walk and then very calmly walking home. But I didn't. I let him turn me around. And I remember feeling so ashamed when I walked by the guy, the little guy who was detailing the car. I wouldn't even look at him, look his way. When I got home, I don't want to know what I did immediately. At some point, I contacted one of my siblings who has something to do with real estate, commercial real estate, because I thought he might know about private roads. Because there was on the sign, when I went down to the bottom of that particular hill, I looked up and attached to the sign was underneath it something that said private. It attached to the street sign. So I called my brother and he researched for me. And when he got back to me, he said, I don't think he had the right to stop you. It's because people who have roads like that have to allow the public, even if they paid for the road, even if they paid for it, so they're considered the owners of the road, it's still they have to allow the public the access to go through, use it as a pathway to go through it. Now, the thing was, because I didn't know if it was legal to, once you got to the end of it, to go past that barrier. Property on the other side of the barrier looked like it could have been part of the Santa Monica Mountains. It was all unfinished, and it looked like a path, like a trail. But it wasn't very long. You walked around it, and then it ended. And because I didn't know that part of it, I didn't know whether it actually was a road that you had to allow the public access to walk through it to get to this part. But I never went back. But it was always my dream or my intention or my want to do that, just to kind of cement in my mind that I'm not going to let this guy stop me from accessing a private road, because or public road, public private, because he has some image of who I am in his head. I since did some more research years later in preparation for this podcast, because I wondered if anybody else had had this experience and if anybody else had talked about it. Well, it's interesting. There are other people who have been, people have tried to turn away on that road. I wasn't the only one. And there have been Caucasian people. And everybody gets incensed. Everybody is incensed. They all, like, tweeted about it or put it on their Facebook page, or they've done something. They haven't done, like, a podcast about it, but they've been like, who is this guy? Who are these people? What are they doing? There's actually somebody, I think, who does own that property on the other side of that gate, because now somebody has taken a picture of it and posted it. And now they've actually got more barrier stuff up there saying private property, keep off. And this guy has actually came out and threatened somebody and actually physically accosted somebody. And this person took him to court and won. And then there was another woman of color. And she had the same reaction I did. It didn't seem like she had taken it to heart as much as I did in terms of shame. She just was angry. And she was like, I don't know if this has to do with my color, but. So I just wanted to talk about that, especially with all of the things that are happening in our country now. A lot of times people don't understand when mainly I think it's African Americans, have issues or experiences and wonder if it has to do with the fact of the color of their skin. They don't understand why we take it to heart so much. A lot of people think automatically we're being paranoid. But this is something that I had to talk about because I'm still thinking about it years later. I probably will never make that walk up that hill. I'm pretty sure the property probably has been sold to somebody else now. But mainly I won't make the walk up the hill because I do know that that property on the other side is private. It doesn't belong to somebody else. If it were city owned or if I felt like it was accessible, I would make the walk to just to reach that property. But there's nowhere to reach except this walk.
That's it. That's all there is to the tale. A story about a simple walk up a hill on a quiet morning. My version of ringing in a new year, embarking on a new beginning. Now, The Hill was originally recorded in February, March of this year, 2020, right when the pandemic was just starting to blossom and grow out of control and become the ugly pandemic that we know it has grown into and is still continuing as I speak these words. So a few things happened. I've mentioned them in my initial podcast and in the show notes. If you read the show notes, you understand what took up a good deal of my energetic time in the spring of 2020, other than the pandemic. But I finally got around to putting up this podcast. Listening to it, this particular episode of The Hill just now, as I was prepping for uploading, I nearly succeeded in scrapping it. I'll explain. When I initially thought of posting this story, it felt on some level just a little bit risky. There would be those out there who poo-pooed my reaction to this almost non-event, especially after further research unearthed others of varying genders and ethnicities being challenged on their right to walk that very same hill. You see, I was raised in a family who, although mom and dad were fierce, stand up for your rights with dignity sort of persons, they also instilled in me and all of my siblings to behave with honor and dignity, to be respectful of laws and legality. I'd never been one to buck the system and often wished I'd inherited more of a fight gene from my parents because they had it. So after this spring and after the atrocity of what occurred with George Floyd and likewise with the numerous men and women of color over these past few months, we're just not talking about the decades, but just these past few months, my walk did seem nearly nothing. I mean, I'm still here, and I am most appreciative of still being here. And yet I did lose something that day, albeit temporarily. What I lost was an even deeper sense of who I was at that time. I let that man affect my self-esteem. And therefore, he won. I hate to think of it in terms like that, but that's how it felt at the time. Did I allow being turned around to totally curtail my determination to regain my sense of self-worth? I did not. That year turned out to be game-changing in many ways. Eventually, I did brush it off, just as I did the experience of being stopped by a patrolman in La Cañada while on my way to an audition a few years before that. It was another day when I said nothing as this policeman stopped and asked me to step out and stay at the back of my car while he returned to sit in the driver's seat. I watched through the rear view window as he reached for my oversized bag, which I left on the passenger's side of the car, and he started rummaging through it. I felt helpless. I stood in the gutter next to the sidewalk, attempting to blend into the background. Nothing to see here, folks. As car after car after car filled with impassive Caucasian gawkers gaped at me, wondering each in their turn what it was I had done wrong. I must have done something right. Why else would the nice policeman pull me aside and be rummaging through my purse in the front seat of my car? Of course, he found nothing but a bunch of loose vitamins and a box of minty fresh Tic Tacs floating around in the bottom of my bag. Questioning what I was doing driving around the upper-class area of La Cañada, I tell him I'm on my way to an audition.
Oh, yeah?
He says.
Would I have seen you in anything?
I frown a little. He's already set me back 10 minutes, and I want to be on my way. Forget about a few moments of deep breathing exercises to shake off any unforeseen jitters. Now my main concern is just showing up on time. But this guy, this cop, wants to know what I've been in. Now that he knew I wasn't running drugs throughout beautiful downtown La Cañada, his eyes took on a bit of bright inquisitiveness as he asked me about my list of credits. Incensed as I was, I couldn't show it. I played along so I could get going along. You want to know if there's more? You bet. I recently heard a young black man say his profiling encounters outnumbered the digits of not only his feet, but also of his hands, to which I can only say, ditto. So after discussing with my producing partner and other colleagues the value of uploading The Hill for Mayday's second episode, I determined that it still mattered. Why? Because I still think about it to this day.
So, let me know if something like this has ever happened to you, if your friends were understanding of it, if you're holding on to it, or if you've released it, or if you have anything to say to me about how I handled it.
I guess what I take away from this, and I think the point that you make at the end when you say is in the world we live in today, to me, it doesn't take an extraordinary person to, you know, be that guy to walk out and say, hey, what are you doing here? But there's a certain level of societal decorum and norms that people just adhere to that when, you know, you see another and someone smiles at you and you say, Happy New Year, and you feel disarmed. But this guy, what this brings up for me is that today, people who would just in the past shut up and say nothing, and like maybe they in their heads and their hearts, they've got something nasty to say or something, or, you know, or get off my lawn or you don't belong here. Now they have voice. Mm-hmm. And that's what this, you know, brings up for me. And, you know, and it's, you go back to the 40s and 50s and before that, it's like when all of these people had voice and we have lost our way in terms of our own ability to center ourselves and center ourselves for the right, for center ourselves for the decent, for the betterment of all. We're not taking away their, I mean, if that's the right that they're adhering to, I'm sorry, I'm okay with that right being taken away.
Okay, so you think that this guy who came out,
Well, this is a while ago, and so I'm just saying.
Yeah, this was like in 2008.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's not that long ago.
But, I mean, 10 to 12 years now.
You know, and it's interesting because on first feeling, my God, I'm gonna say, he's doing this because black woman's walking down the path. And, you know, and maybe the fact that you'd even walked down, maybe he'd noticed you walked down that path before and he'd been at dinner or whatever it was. You know, he hadn't gotten up to say, hey, get off my lawn. But that was always kind of in his heart. And, I mean, that speaks to a bigger problem that this person has. Of course, when you look at this, in terms of, like, you know, what we go through every day, it's like now you wonder anytime you have an interaction with somebody, are they going to say, hey, what are you doing here? Hey, you don't belong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what I take away from this. It's just the perpetual reinforcement of the, you don't belong, you're not one of us.
It's interesting that you said that about this guy sitting at the dinner table. When that man came out that day, in my head, what I saw was a woman behind him. I thought to myself, there had been that the day Lisa and I took our walk, his wife had been home, or a woman had been home and had seen us and said nothing because she didn't want to come.
Abner, that black lady's back.
Exactly.
Right.
That's exactly right. I thought, you know what? She didn't have the chutzpah or the whatever to come out on her own.
Right.
But, you know, then the little black girl's walking up by herself and she goes, get out there, get out there. And that's what I...
You know, I mean, and this person's achieved a certain amount of success and he's living up in the Hollywood Hills. Mm-hmm. And yet he's a small enough person that this is probably, you know, one of the things he enjoys on his day. Evidently it is.
Yes,
because,
evidently.
Because if he really wanted it to stop, he could have put Private up in, you know, 5 foot tall neon.
Absolutely.
And stop the problem.
Yeah.
But yet I think he enjoys it. I think he does.
The power?
He enjoys the power.
I recently saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Did you see that movie,
David? I did, yeah.
There is a scene, I think you'll remember it, our audience will probably remember it, where the Manson crew come up and they're making all sorts of noise and they're like blasting the radio or something, and Leonardo DiCaprio's character goes right. out and he's drunk. I right. think it's the pivotal night, right?
Right.
He's drunk and he goes out and he yells at them and he screams at them to get off his street because he mutters that it's a private road and his taxes, the taxes he pays are out of the roof.
Right.
And what's interesting is he lives very close
right.
or in an area similar to the one where all this took place. It, the same sort of thing where you go up the windy roads and the road I'm talking about, you don't dead end into the property at the top.
Right.
There is that open space. It's still that's the sort of feel. And so when I saw that
right.
and I heard him say, all the taxes I pay and this is private and
right.
dirt, and he yells at them and screams at them to leave, I think, I guess that's a thing.
Well, I don't know if you invited me here to tell my story of when I did
yes.
this, but
please,
all right. So here, build your own backstory from this. But I was living at my grandmother's home. She has a residential home here in a part of Los Angeles. You know, nice, but her home abutted an alleyway. And down the other side of the alley is a laundromat, a mini mall, whatever. And they had a detached garage, so I would have to, you know, get out, go and open up the garage door to get out the car. I think at the time I had to get out my motorcycle. And I remember going out one morning, it was like 6, and I'm walking through the backyard. And I wasn't going to work at 6, trust me. No, actually, maybe I was. But if I was, I was going to a minimum wage job. And I could hear noise coming from the alleyway right then and there, 20, 30 feet away from before I even got to the gate that I had to go through to then go outside to open the garage. And then sitting in front of my garage were 5 guys who, I don't know, it's 6 in the morning, probably they had just gotten off work at a construction site, and they were sitting back on against my garage drinking beers and being loud. And so there I was, hands on my hips, get off my lawn.
Whoa.
So.
How old were you?
I was 25.
I was going to say, I should say, how young were you?
Yeah, I was 20, yeah. It's funny, you know, in recent times, like the company I work for now, besides the T-Volution, I've sometimes have to work in the early evening, like, you know, get off like or 7 or 8, and I'll be walking back to my offices, which are separated sometimes by, you know, about a quarter mile, and it's in Hollywood. And I've walked back, and now I've encountered, say, a homeless person sleeping in front of the, or at least camped out in front of the door that I need to get, the only door that's accessible to me to get back into these offices. And my approach today is more like, sorry, dude, don't worry about it, but I need you to move your stuff so I can get in.
Oh. What do you attribute that to? Do you attribute that to maturity, or do you attribute it to an awareness of their circumstances? Or because there's a big difference between that and these guys who are drinking beer on the back, you know, behind.
I mean, but really, is there a big guy? I could have just said, hey, dudes, can you just move? You know, I need to get my bike out.
That's
but yeah, why am I yelling at him? Why am I like angry at him?
That's
and like,
how did they respond to you? I'm curious.
Well, I mean,
did they get angry back?
You're sitting 4 feet away from me, and you've heard my big voice before.
Your outside voice.
My outside voice, and you couple that with 20 years, me 20 years younger. They moved.
Oh.
So. And you know what? When I just told you that they moved, felt kind of good.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, this D-bag who was up on the Hollywood Hills, maybe he was waiting for his wife to tell Abner to go outside, but maybe he just looked forward to these moments.
That's true.
I mean, because there is a combative relationship with a lot of the folks in the hills, because a lot of people in Los Angeles particularly love to hike. They are very athletic, and that's part of their lives. And you know, you see all these kind of signs that are kind of impotent and like, hey, please pick up after yourselves. But they would all like to be the, you know, the guys who just stood in your way and say, no, I paid my $1 million. This ain't for you no more.
Exactly.
And that's what this guy was.
Yeah.
And but now there's this sort of sense of delusion around that, like, this whole city is ours now. Or this whole, that as soon as there's a gathering of more than two of us white folks around, it's ours.
So you don't think, even though it turned out later that this guy was coming out and harassing all people, it didn't matter what color you were, he just didn't want people up on his hill.
Right.
What do you think about me as being a black woman, and that my first reaction was to go to race? Because that's a lot of people call it, oh, she's playing the race card. Why did she have to pull that out? But I totally believed until I researched.
Well, I mean, you know, if you'd been that black woman, well, not so much a black woman, but we see it in video. We know it in statistics, you know, that this sort of stuff happens, you know, all the time. And so that's why this fits so wonderfully into this podcast, you know, every day. And I mean, I don't think it's your job to have to go through and consider their motivations, because at the end of the day, their motivations were based upon their own twisted sense of ego and their own greed. This is mine, not yours, even though your actions upon this area, which I claim to be mine, you weren't out there poaching his deer.
No.
You weren't writing get out Whitey and salt on his lawn.
Right.
But his sense of offense mm-hmm. was utterly misplaced.
Mm-hmm.
But naturally, it's gonna fall back to your experience, you know, your reality bubble. That fits with your map of the whole world. So, I mean, I think what we can do now is just, you know, say it's interesting to find out the other truth, but then our first reaction shouldn't be dismissal of what you experienced.
Yes, my initial experience.
I didn't really like the way I said dismissal there, but thanks for not making fun of me.
I know whereof you speak.
Right.
I just have to throw this in for it means nothing, but since I also did another bit of research and I found out the houses were going, what they were going for sale up there, they were going up for sale from $8 to $10 million.
Yeah.
Which just boggles my mind. I don't know why. But I think, holy Toledo. I thought they were a couple million dollars, you know, tops, but.
Okay.
You know, today's market, I guess.
Okay.
Anyway. Well, David, thank you for.
Darwin, thank you. It's been my pleasure.
For taking time out to be with us on Every Day. This wasn't the end of the world. What happened?
No, but we're still here.
But if it affects your body, if it brings up any sort of emotion that is attributed to making you feel less about yourself,
right?
I believe it things like that should be addressed. And you actually, I feel better having talked about this with you, going through different scenarios, and it also helps to know that this does happen to other people in different ways.
Yep.
And I think there are other things that happen. I hope that people will send me an email right now. They can send all comments and story responses and ideas to thetevolution@gmail.com. That's all one word, thetevolution@gmail.com. I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day, David.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And now you can return to your regularly scheduled programming. Bye.